This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Why do I get the feeling this one is going to be pretty tasty, pretty feisty? There's going to be some strong opinions, I would imagine. And that's what we're all here about. We're all here for. So, you know, sometimes people will think I just like the sound of my own voice. Far from it. If it was up to me, I would just ask questions of you. This channel is for you. It's the Sheffield United way. When we won the award for best Football League channel on YouTube, you won that award. You are award-winning viewers. And we're going to talk today about all the events of the past 24 hours and some. So we know now that Slavisa Jokanović has left Sheffield United far earlier than I think any of us would have imagined in our wildest nightmares. And the Blades have appointed Paul Heckingbottom, this time on a permanent basis after he was previously a caretaker. And we are going to get the thoughts of you. I am not going to mess about. My name is Hal. Drew is actually going to be our first fan to join us tonight on the Fans Forum. He is a friend of the channel. I always like hearing your opinions. So, Drew, welcome back. Let's start with this. What did you make of the events of yesterday, mate?
I find it perplexing rather than surprising because I think the results kind of show that there was, I mean, you know, it's not too out of the blue that he has gone, but I think it's more just confusing that that they have decided to go and make the decision to get rid of him, which, you know, I think from everyone's kind of standpoint, you know, and my thinking exactly was, well, he's not going to get sacked because we can't afford it. We can't afford to sack him, which, you know, which was my thought. So, and then to see it as quick as it was, to see that he was sacked, I was a bit like, well, like we really are in a bit, like we really are like in a bit of like of a situation that I don't think we're going to
get him out of. You're right. A lot of people said that when we did the Slav in, Slav out video after Nick twisted my arm to do that one. people said we can't afford to sack him. And now I'm also seeing people say the board have taken the cheap option. Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you know, we've obviously have spent money sacking him, money that probably would have been spent on players in January. I would imagine that's now not going to be the case. So it's certainly not the cheap option.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I agree with what you're saying on that one. I think again, it's more like again with Heckingbottom coming in, I don't think it's a bad decision in terms of, and again, I think the sentiment was mostly the same. I don't think it's a bad decision in terms of, you know, all right, well, if we're going to go with Heckingbottom to steady the ship a bit, take it to the end of the season. I don't think anyone would have complained really, but I think it was more just surprised of the length of the contract. Like they're really putting their faith in him. And I'm actually like pretty happy for him because I think he's a really like nice guy. I'm just a bit, the jury's out at the moment if he's going to be the guy that's kind of going to get him to where we need to be, like even mid-table to top end is where we really should be aiming, I think, now for the season. So, but yeah, surprising.
Risk with any manager, just ask Manchester United fans, you know, just, yep. You never know, even a track record and a great CV doesn't guarantee success, as we've seen. So what do you think, when you're going to look back at Slavisa Jokanović's time at United, what are you going to think?
I think just a bit meh, just a bit of a bump in the road, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, because it wasn't, I mean, apart from the amazing result against Peterborough, I don't know, like, there's not many memories from it, I suppose. And it's very short-lived. So I don't know. I think it'll, maybe I'm doing a bit of a disservice because he's had maybe 18, 19 games or whatever, but I think it's going to be a pub quiz trivia question, maybe in a, maybe 10, 15 years' time. I don't know. But like, yeah, I think I wouldn't say, maybe underwhelming, I'd say is probably the best way to describe it, because I don't think he's a bad manager. And but I think with the results, I don't think it was too shocking that he has gone, but I think it was just a bit middle of the road, You know, I mean, not very inspiring, I'd say.
Well, he gave us some memorable quotes. I mean, one thing people have said is they will actually watch press conferences again, which I think is a bit mean, but I've seen that comment so many times, I'm sure you have.
I was one of those people that didn't really watch most of the interviews, just because I thought it was all right, but you know, it wasn't very Wilder-esque, you know what I mean? So,
well, yeah absolutely. Wilder and Warnock as well, I would say. Warnock was a wonderful man motivator. I always felt, you know, if you wanted to rally some troops, you'd want the motivational skills of Neil Warnock, but not necessarily the transfer acumen. Yeah. How are you feeling then? Positive going forward?
If I'm being honest, I think because I've had a day to digest it, I am feeling a little bit positive about it. I don't know why. I think maybe just from seeing Stuart McCall and Jack Lester today, I went, yeah, you know, I could buy into this a little bit, you know what I mean? Because I do like him obviously a lot. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think he will be able to get something out of them. He will go back to a similar kind of formation that they played last season. So hopefully that'll just kind of click for them, and they could, and maybe make a bit of a charge, not so much to playoffs, but maybe make a bit of a charge and just show that, you know, we're not a bit of a, like I said on the last show, not a bit of a pushover team, you know, like, and just showing that Bramall Lane's a tough place to come and get points. And I think he will instill that. He knows what the club's about. So I am feeling a little bit positive and seeing maybe steadying the ship, seeing where we go and go from there. But I am feeling a little bit positive with the appointment, actually, to be fair. Now I've had a day.
Well, I like Jack Lester because he reached out to us on Twitter and said he was a fan of the channel. So quite literally, super Jack Lester. And I like Stuart McCall because I went to watch training. I said this a few times when I was a lad. My mum used to take me in the holidays to watch training, or when I was bunking off school. And I met Stuart McCall a few times, and all he spoke to me about was caravan holidays. And I just had a lot of time for the guy. He was really, really nice. So, yeah, I'm really pleased those two are back in that kind of first team fold, because they were players I was fond of, and I hope they'll do really well now in the backroom stuff there. So this is a really big question. I kind of feel mean asking it, but what do you think happens financially if we do not get back up into the Premier League in two or maybe three seasons?
It is a big question. That obviously, you know, I think maybe a good way to compare it is American sports and stuff like, what's the worst thing for them is kind of mediocrity, kind of treading water. And I think, again, this might be me being a bit, maybe not pessimistic, but I'm a bit more of a realist. Like, obviously, I love the club and I want this to be a Premier League club, obviously. But I think more like we always, and again, I might get a lot of stick in the comments for this, but I think we've always been a fairly big sized championship club. So as long as we're up and kind of contesting in those playoff spots, or maybe around about it, then, you know, I could be pretty happy with that. And as long as we're winning more than we're losing, I think that's what fans care about. So I think to answer the question is, if we don't get up in the next two or three seasons, we could become these kind of Middlesbrough, Stoke, middle of the pack, some decent players, but maybe not enough to make a push. But I think that's maybe, and you know, maybe not making the big signings that we were back in the Premier League and stuff. So I think we'd probably peter out, maybe, again, buzzword for me at the moment, like middle of the pack, I think.
Right, give him grief, because that's a shocking lack of ambition from Drew.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. Don't agree with a word of it, but exactly. Fair enough. I want Champions League champions, quite literally.
Yeah. Want some silverware.
I want some silverware in my lifetime following the Blues. I desperately want success, and I thought we were close to it. But gosh, the last few years have been tough after that ninth place finish. But Drew, as always, I really enjoy your comments, your forthright opinions, your honesty, and your passion as well. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on again, mate.
Good to hear from Drew. Good to hear from you in the comments as well. Let us know what you've made of this, and Bobby in the background will bring them on screen. So, for example, I'm going to look at Blade Runner. Great name. Bad film. Just going to say it. Dull. Glad of change. Slav was a foolish bounce-back strategy appointment. The hunger to win needs to be amplified with the injection of youth. Too many big egos still in the squad. Streamline and believe. Blade Runner, that seems to be the vision the strategy, if I'm going to use a term we heard from that press conference several times over, and the ethos of the board at the moment. A man that I'm never bored of is Adam. Adam Wilson, our stats man, joins us, and he's quite cheeky. He always puts his Twitter handle to try and get a few more followers on screen. Notice Drew did that as well. Am I missing a trick?
You are, mate. You are.
Well, Adam, I'm going to ask you how you're feeling about the appointment of Paul Heckenbottom.
I'm upset a few. Absolutely delighted. I think it's a really good, astute move. I got a bit of stick a few weeks ago when I was firmly slav out. And this change is somebody from within, which is what I asked for. He's worked with the under-23s. Look, he galvanised the squad last season. We were relegated last season when Chris Wilder left. There was nobody was going to save us. He plays Jebison at Everton. He scores after 5 minutes. Everyone, keep Jebison. Don't let him go. You know, he's gone out on loan. He was disappointed. He's going to blood the youngsters. He's going to get this club back on its feet. We have been spoiled. I mean, we're in the doldrums of League One. We've gone on a run. We've gone to the Premier League and then flirting with Europe. And everyone's now suddenly thinking that we are a established Premier League club. We're not. We're a top-end championship club, and that's the reality check that we need to have. And that will upset a lot of people. I know that. But we're not a Norwich. We're not a Fulham. We're not a West Brom where we go up, down, up, down, up, down. A couple of years to consolidate, blood the youngsters, and get this team ready to go forward and then stabilise and get in the Premier League and stay there, I think's good. I'm really upbeat about it.
Okay, I like the upbeat. I like that you're excited about that. I'm not sure I agree with everything that you've said, but hey, wouldn't the world be boring if I did agree with everything you've said? We mentioned with Drew the appointment of Jack Lester and Stuart McCall being part of the setup. That's Jack Lester as head of player development and Stuart McCall, who is the new assistant manager. So how do you feel about those guys being involved in the fold?
Yeah, very good. I like Stuart McCall. Had a lot of time for him when he was a player at Bramall Lane. He's not necessarily succeeded himself in managerial jobs that he's held, but you know, if you've got that Stuart McCall work ethic and the players play like Stuart McCall played and put everything into it, I think it's great. Jack Lester was a know-how footballer, wasn't he? He knew how to get decisions. He knew how to find the back of the net, importantly. And yeah, I think it's good. It's good to have people who've been in the club before. That's the real positive for me. People who know what it means to play for Sheffield United. I know Heckenbottom didn't play for us. He's led us. He's worked with the under-23s. He's worked for worked with the youngsters. I just think it's a positive move. Some may say a cheap move, but I like it. I really do.
All right, let's talk about some of those youngsters. Do you expect Paul Heckenbottom to play more of the youth? Will we see Brunt, Lapata, and Jebison as part of the first team this season?
I think so. I'm not saying all at the same time, all in at once. I don't think that's going to work. I can't think you can just put 5, 6, 7 of them in at the same time and think it's going to work. It isn't. But giving them a couple of games, just giving them that first team experience, I think that's what we've got to look at doing. You know, we've seen how it's worked with Jebison. He's gone to Burton. I'd get him back in January. I think he's one that should come back. I was very surprised that, you know, the lads that went to Southend, I just don't think it was, it's given them game time, but with respect to Southend, it's a struggling National League side. And I think they were, you know, I'd like to see them gone out if they were going to go out to League One, League Two, you know, just to get used to sort of football. But they've showed in the Cup games this season what they can do. So, yeah, just gradually sort of bring them through. And they are the basis of the club in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yep, I'm not going to disagree with anything you've just said. Now, the chairman, Yusuf Jan Siracusa, nailed it.
Is it for you to say?
Thank you. Said he isn't a football man. That hasn't gone down particularly well, but you know he isn't, and he's being honest. He has implemented a strategy at the club that isn't necessarily the norm across football clubs. He did say that Paul Heckenbottom was the football manager, and that was a term that wouldn't go down well. I have to say I was surprised at that comment because I would have always called him a football manager. So I didn't quite know what to make of that. But if you generally look at the entire strategy he was talking about, is there a case that actually coming in with fresh eyes as an outsider, new ideas, could work?
Well, I mean, his comments were strange, weren't they? I mean, I think his way of saying he's the football manager, is that saying that he's not got control of transfers? So he's literally managing the football side?
It's a good question, that. Very good question. I don't know.
That's how I sort of interpreted it. I mean, I could be wrong, but that was my interpretation of it, that Paul Heckingbottom manages footballing affairs. And previous two managers, rumours regarding Jukanovic was one of the reasons we're not backing you in January. You're not in charge of it. Even in the wilder days, you're not in charge of the transfer policy. That's how I took it, but I could be wrong.
I think that's a fascinating way to take it. Adam, your opinions always welcome. Is there anything you want to finally leave us with before you say goodbye on the Fans Forum today? Because I know you have got some passionate opinions and some strong thoughts.
I've got some passionate opinions. I think it was time to change. The reason why it was time to change, it wasn't working. It was damned if you do, damned if you don't. If we'd have kept Jukanovic for the whole season and finished 19th, 20th, there'd have been an uproar. We've made decisive change for what hope is the benefit of Sheffield United Football Club. This season, we can blood youngsters. Heckingbottom has got time this season. Nobody's expecting playoffs. Okay, it's 8 points. Could we do it? Well, yes, we could. But realistically, do we expect it to happen this season? No. So he's got, 25, 26 games left in order to, get the team his way, playing back the Sheffield United way. And I think we will see passion. And I just plea to all the fans, whether you're rating Heckingbottom, whether you're not, everything that's gone off, just get behind the lads. You are vocal in those stands. You give the lads everything they need. They will give you everything in return. Absolutely 100%. Cheer them on. Starting Sunday, 12:30, Bristol City. It is almost like the season starts now. And I am one. I'm excited. I'm happy. It's somebody from within. Foreign manager experiment didn't work. I'm glad decisive action's been taken, and I'm feeling good about it. Paul Heckingbottom, he was given 4.5 years. I think he was given 4.5 years because he stepped in last season, and this is almost the board saying, you know what, we didn't give you it in the summer. We got somebody in, but we have got faith in you. So contracts, will he survive 4.5 years? Who knows? They're not really worth what they're written in, are they? Let's be honest. Who sees out the contracts these days? I don't matter. I think it's just a bit of faith to Heckingbottom say, you know what? You've got a bit of time, Paul. You're part of our vision for Sheffield United Football Club. Whether you agree with this or not as fans, whether you agree with the vision and the way it's going, who knows? But they have put faith in Hecky to take the Blades where they want to be. And if they are running the club as a business and to make money, they want to get us into the Premier League because that's where the money is. So for me, it's win-win.
Watch out, Gary Sinclair. Quite a rallying drive you gave us there, Adam, at the start. You had me ready to go to war for you. Really appreciate it. Adam, thank you very much for your thoughts. Have a great rest of your Friday.
Cheers, Hal.
Always good to get Adam on. Ewan is going to join us next. Ewan, you have always been very honest when we've previously welcomed you onto a fans forum, and I don't want you to hold back again, my friend. I want you to tell us exactly how you feel. Were you surprised by the events of yesterday at beautiful downtown Bramall Lane? And I mean everything. The news, the press conference, the whole shebang.
Yes and no. I had my mate text me. I was sat at this desk working away, and then someone said, Slav's gone. I was like, what? I honestly thought naively probably that we'd sort of wait it out to January and see if he gets backed or not. But let's face it, that was never going to happen. They were never going to give him the players and the overhaul for the system he wanted. Results have been poor. There's been lack of confidence. He's just not been able to motivate that group of players for whatever reason. I don't know. I was surprised, but then, sitting back and thinking about it, it was probably inevitable in the end.
Inevitable in the end, and the end just happened to come sooner than any of us would have thought it was going to come. What are your overarching thoughts on how everything has been handled since? And I'm going to go all the way back to Chris Wilder left, because we really haven't got that stability since then.
This is probably where I go in at the hierarchy at Bramall Lane. there's, for me, it's just a clear lack of leadership and direction at the top. There'd be, the board's been flip-flopping between wanting a say in transfers and then sort of now handing over to Paul Hacking and Botterman, Mitchell, and, you know, say, you just deal with the recruitment. We'll have a say-so, obviously, with finances. So they've not thought things through. I don't believe for one second that they've been formulating a strategy for the last few months. I honestly believe it's sort of been scratched together quite quickly. I just don't buy that they've been working on it for months and months. If they had been working on it, they would have been able to say more from yesterday, because they said they won't divulge too many details, but surely if you've worked on identifying what is it commercially sensitive to say in a press conference, you'd have said it. So, it's, you know, that the chairman, Youssef, was sort of saying, these are our three pillars. But I can't go much further than that. I can't go into any depth. And like, well, if you've been working on it for so many months, surely you can divulge something. So that just struck me as something where they've been quickly putting it together. There were other bits as well where he said, you know, the prince has been the face of the club. He won't step back. Well, the prince himself has said he's not hands on. I mean, when has he ever been the face of anything? I didn't really get that. And I think just overall communications from the club have been really poor throughout. They don't manage expectations well at all. It's mixed messages all the time. For instance, Betis said when they appointed Slav, he would get backed with funds last summer. I found the article. I think it was is it Stephen Hemingham or whatever his name is?
Nathan.
Nathan, that's it, from the Yorkshire Examiner. You know, I read the article. And then I think it was Andy Giddens yesterday in the press conference said, you know, will Paul Heckenbottom be backed? And then Betis sort of skirted around it and says, well, that's the wrong way of looking at it. So it's just mixed messages, lack of direction, and all the bluster about strategy. Honestly, I don't buy that now at all.
Interesting. I said you'd be honest. Justin Rice, who's a Blades fan, has just written to us on Twitter and said, I want to correct what Stephen Bettis said. He never said Hecky wouldn't be judged on results. He said he wouldn't only be judged on results. Very different. Now, you were just talking about some of the quotes from the press conference. So your thoughts on that?
Well, it's the temptation is to read too much into that, but I suppose looking at it cynically, that just probably means to me that they've had strained relations with the last two managers and want someone who's more aligned with them. That's my take on it.
Okay, yeah, I think that's going to be I'm not even going to say the rest of that sentence. I'm self-editing. I've got better at it as I've been doing more of these. I'm just going to say that's your opinion. What are you thinking for the rest of the season? Are you hopeful? Are you looking forward to some kind of playoff push? Or are you very much in Adam's camp and it's going to be maybe two seasons?
Well, look, we're Blades fans. We're always hopeful. That's why we keep supporting them. It's just the curse of supporting this club. So at the end of the day, it's down to the players now and how they will react to Paul Heckingbottom and the message he's got for them. I mean, I think a lot of people will come on here tonight and say that they like Paul Heckingbottom. I like Paul Heckingbottom. He speaks very well. He's probably the only one in that press conference yesterday that spoke with any clarity and sense. And I felt I could get behind him. The rest on there, I just couldn't. But at least with Paul, I felt slightly confident that we could maybe make something of the season. I don't think we'll end up in the playoffs, but hopefully make a good push for it and at least play with a bit of confidence, because that's been lacking for so long.
And maybe it'll just be a little bit more exciting as well, Ewan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe. Ewan, thank you as ever for joining us.
No worries.
Top man, Ewan. I just want to bring this comment up from New Whittingham Drone Boy, who says, Hal, do you have an update on Fleck and what actually happened? It looked like some sort of fit. Hope he is well, and it would be nice for the fans to cheer his name on 4 minutes. Well, I don't know more than the rest of all of us know. You know, I am just a fan like you, but I agree, it would be really nice if we could do something on 4 minutes. I'm well up for something, so a nice show of support for Flecky. I think that's a really nice message. So thank you for that. And I've made it very clear on the post-match Reading video, if you haven't watched that yet, my thoughts on how much I desperately want to know that he's well, because it really upset me. And it was tough to watch. Gary is with us now as he slams his phone on the floor. That was good timing, wasn't it, Gary? How you doing, right? You all right?
Perfect timing, mate. Couldn't have planned that any better, could I?
It's the way it goes. It was almost summed up Sheffield United sort of last year and a half in one phone movement. But I'm pleased to have you here. What did you make of yesterday's events?
Exactly that. Frustrating, typical Blades, not knowing what they really want to do. Did Slav turn around and say, right, that's it, I've had enough. You either back me or I'm off. Again, it's probably very similar to the Wilder situation. We're not really going to find out the truth. That's what I personally believe. I think he said, look, January, we need to do something here. And these are the following people I need to move on. These are the people I would like, which is, I think it was very clear in summer. They sort of said, look, you've got to sell some guys to get some guys in, which we sort of understand financially. That makes sense. But equally, you've got to back a manager. If you're going to bring a manager in like Slav, who's got good credentials, you've got to give him some support. If you don't give him any support, our team is aging. Yes, they've done brilliantly for us over numerous seasons, but they're jaded and somebody needs to pick them up. Slav's gone. History's out of it. Is Hecky the man to do it? I think he probably is. He's a really positive, motivational character. Will he be able to get the best out of these players? Yeah, I think he can. If anybody can, I think he probably can. Unfortunately, there is a but for me, and the but being his track record recently at clubs he's been at. Yes, he's not been particularly well-resourced, but equally, his results haven't been great. His win ratio isn't fantastic. It's slightly less better than Slav's with the Blades. Percentage, I know you're an absolute statistician, so you'll be all over it. But I think just bare brass tacks, we've got to understand that. Heck, he's got to have some time. And unfortunately, where we're sat in the division at the minute, it's dangerous. You know, what do I hope for this season? To survive in the Championship. That's what I hope
for. Wow. So, okay, I'll maybe come to that a little bit later. But the board made it clear that this was not a results-based decision when they got rid of Slavisa Jokanović. It was part of the strategic review. In your opinion, what does the board think then has changed in the last 6 months?
I think like one of your previous comments just previously come through, that isn't quite actually what was said. So he will be viewed on results because it's a results-based business. Let's not kid ourselves that heck, he's going to be able to drift off into League Two and the Sheffield United board will be happy with it. Because us certainly as fans won't be happy with it, and plenty of people will be in the car park with their shoes off. So we've just got to be realistic with that and understand it and determine where we sort of realistically can be. Like I say, if we end up surviving this season, I think it's a win for me. The last time Hecky was in the back end of the Prem season, he was on a hide into nothing. He really was. The team were on the belt buckles, really struggling. And I didn't think it was fair on him. I think he's a great coach. There's absolutely no two ways about that. Your previous chap that was on, Ewan, mentioned about the lack of leadership. You know me, how I come from a lot of leadership and equally poor leadership as well as good leadership. And that's what we need here. We need good, strong leadership, clear direction, understanding where we're going. If we're going to base everything on our bringing it through the under-18s, through the under-23s, I completely agree with that. That's where our strengths have certainly been over the past decades. But equally, what we've got to do is then refresh Shirecliffe, sort it out, because it is really, really in a bad way.
It's dilapidated.
Absolutely. And so many coaches have mentioned that. Sir Chris mentioned it on numerous occasions. Slav came and sort of almost rolled his eyes at it and it was almost lost in translation, the fact that it was really poor. But if we want to be top top notch at bringing through youngsters, then we've got to have top notch facilities. Otherwise, that just isn't going to work.
And the board have said they will invest in that, just to be a bit of Billy Balance, our old friend.
Yeah. Again, is this another false £2 promise? You know, is it one of those that we're going to do that? It will take time. I think if we just need to understand about investment and understand what's going on around the club, the fact that the hotel's shut in season, what's that all about? That's just crazy.
Well, my wife's not happy about that, I'll tell you that now, because the only time she ever goes to games is when she can stay at the hotel.
I'm sure Maria isn't chuffed, mate, yeah. but we've just got to understand that, you know, that's financial suicide. Yeah, do it in the close season if we need to do renovations or something like that, but certainly not during the season. Up to Christmas. Literally just throwing money down the drain.
Well, you do miss out, of course, on that big Christmas push when you get people staying in,
of course,
in the hotel. But maybe there were reasons for it. I mean, COVID, I don't really know. This isn't my area of expertise. I don't know what area of expertise mine is. I do know one thing. From what you've said here, I'd have given you the job. To be honest, again, you feel like when you hear you speak, I do feel like I know you as a motivator anyway, and as a leader. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, you do speak a lot of sense and you know the club, but obviously you haven't got your badges. So players?
I have got some badges, but I'm not quite the UEFA B yet. But to be fair, let's be realistic. Who would actually want the job at the minute?
There is that.
I think hat off to Hecky. I think I'm certainly going to be behind him. And like you and I have had numerous sort of chats in the past couple of months, I think us as supporters can do a great deal to help this out. You know, I think the lane's like a library at the minute. It pains me to go there and to be one of only a few singing. And I'm almost embarrassed by the fact that I'm singing. And there's plenty of people around me sort of looking at me thinking, what's this weirdo doing singing? But actually, this is the way we're going to get the team motivated and get them up on it, certainly on a Saturday or in this week on a Sunday morning, as it will be. We've got to look at where we're at, what we've got, and what we can realistically hope for this season, and then build over the next couple of years. The only bit, if I'm really sort of tongue in cheek and looking at the rose tinted glasses, they've given him a 4.5 year contract, so that he can build over the years. However, realism looks a little bit different, I think.
I think this comment from Paul says, Gary speaks a lot of sense, top blade. I have to say that's why I always beg him to jump on these things, because you sometimes need your arm twisting. But yes, he speaks a lot of sense, and Gary and I have followed the blades, and I literally mean this, all over the world.
We have followed them all over the world, mate, haven't we? A little drive from Gibraltar to Portugal springs to mind.
And back in like 24 hours. Incredible. I can take no credit for that. You did all the hard yards. But because we've had you for quite a while, I am going to let you escape and enjoy the rest of your Friday, Gary. But thank you so much.
Yeah, no bother. How you and Nick, keep up the good work, mate. Love the channel. You do a cracking job. And as always, up the blades. Come on, let's do City on the weekend. Cheers, mate.
Top man, that's nice, especially when you see the amount of grief I get on Twitter to hear that once or twice a day. It just keeps the ego going. Next up, after hearing, I think, some very sensible words from Gary, Ollie, are you going to be as sensible? Because that's a hard act to follow, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I saw comments coming in saying, oh, we've got somebody speaking sense. And I thought, oh, I'm up next. Get ready, guys, because there's no sense coming now.
Well, let's start then. How do you feel Slavisa Jokanović has been treated?
Interesting one, to be honest. Interesting question. Suppose there's a few ways of looking at it. So, first of all, Hal, just sort of coming back to you, it was my understanding he was interviewed on the basis that we play 3-5-2. That was part of the interview process, part of our recruitment. Now, clearly, he's gone away from that. So, if there were promises made or there were discussions about our formation in the summer that haven't been kept, then, you know, maybe it was time. You know, performances weren't great. If we're not playing to the way that we'd agreed, then I can understand why he might have been moved on. Where he might have been badly treated is if he has been promised funds that aren't there or promised transfers that were never forthcoming. So it's a mixed bag, really. There's arguments both sides. I think the only other thing for me is the what did we do in that period at the end of last season? So we sat Wilder, I think it was March, Obviously, we've got, I think it was 11 games to the end of the season, about 3 months before we hired Jukanovic. If we've only just decided that our football strategy, like this week, is that we don't want Slav and we want Heckingbottom in and we're going to do it this way, what were we doing the end of last season before we put Slav in, and why were we not doing any kind of strategic planning then? So it all adds up to, he probably wasn't that badly treated based on results, based on where we are in the table, but something just don't quite feel right with some of the things that maybe is being promised or maybe our thinking when we first brought him in.
Who knows? I mean, I look at it as like, it was dull to watch. The players didn't seem motivated. Some of them were getting worse rather than better. And perhaps the board spoke to Slav on numerous occasions, as you imagine they would. And maybe they just didn't get back what they wanted and hoped to hear. Maybe they didn't hear that he was like fully invested and fully up for it. And they probably just decided, well, the results aren't great. This guy doesn't seem like he's in it for the long haul or whatever. I don't know. I'm purely speculating. And maybe that's what's culminated in yesterday's decision, which I think caught a lot of us by surprise.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense that way. In terms of obviously players getting worse, I'd argue that's been happening for about 18 months. But he certainly couldn't stop the slide in some cases. So, no, I can certainly see the logic behind him being moved on. I think it's some of the other things that happened yesterday that maybe brought a little bit more negativity out than that decision itself.
Is it going to be toxic? Are you worried about that?
Yeah, I am. I've been worried about it a little bit for a few weeks now. I went to Blackburn away and it was awful. The performance was dreadful. But in that away end as well, the end of the game, there was a lot of abuse to players as they were coming over to sort of clap the fans. There was a lot of negativity coming out. I thought even on that day, the away fans weren't necessarily as loud as they normally are. It wasn't the same kind of atmosphere we've got used to. So I am a bit worried that things could turn. I think we need a win on Sunday and maybe that'll calm us all down again.
I watched that Blackpool game with Carl Bradshaw and Peter Duffield. Name drop. And it was really interesting hearing heroes of my past talk about how it was and the passion they had and how they would motivate each other if it wasn't always forthcoming from elsewhere. It was a fascinating way to watch a football match. Highly recommend it if anyone gets a chance. Ollie, do you expect... Well, next time I get that opportunity, I will offer it to Nick first. And then if he refuses, Statsman Adam. But if then even he refuses, Gary, and then it's you. So do you expect to see a 3-5-2 week in, week out?
Yes. Yeah, I think... If we've changed because we're talking about strategy, we've changed to put Heckingbottom in charge because he's been working with the young lads, because he's worked with the club before, then I can't understand. If we don't play 3-5-2, then I will really be concerned that we have no plan or idea what we're doing.
It would be a surprise if we start with four at the back.
If we start with four at the back, I'm just going home.
It would be a surprise against Bristol City. Give us your prediction for the season now under Heckingbottom, please.
So for the season, tough one. I think we'll probably finish up about where we are, middle of the table. I know, obviously, some people hope we'll put a string of results together and go up. Some people worry we'll not get any results at all and go down. I think we're probably just going to continue in the same way we have been. I think, you know, we dream of things like a cup run, maybe, to add a bit of excitement into the fun. We could get a nice friendly draw, but overall I just think it's going to be middle of the road, and then look into next season where if we've still not got any money, maybe it'll be more of the same.
Well, you're of a similar mind to Statsman Adam. Ollie, thank you very much for joining us. Cheers.
No worries. Cheers.
You will see Ollie again on Fans React. May have cut him as he was saying goodbye. That makes me look rude. Travelling Blades is with us. Look at him there with his face.
Oh,
with his face. How are you doing?
Face, yes. What a week. What a week. I'll tell you what, being in Blade, there's never a dull moment. You know, from one day to the next. The whole week we've had from Tuesday night, obviously with Fleck, and then, you know, yesterday. You know, I think, I remember like a few weeks back, we saw a few rumours circulating regarding Slav leaving. I remember like 1 week going, oh yeah, he's not going to turn up for the press, he's not going to turn up. Then people saying, oh yeah, he's betting companies now starting to pay out on him leaving. And yeah, I was just shocked with it yesterday. Cheers, John. I think I was just shocked that, and obviously things weren't going well, but I just thought, you know, it's not really, I can't really feel like I can judge Slav on his period. He had very little time. I don't think he was given the resources. He called them out at Luton. It seemed just to be carry on from the Wilder situation. Obviously, I think, you know, obviously we'd never know for sure, but came to loggerheads with the board over certain issues. It just felt like a continuation of that. And at first, I just thought, obviously, I think we all knew before it was announced, we had about 5 hours of just sort of waiting for it to be announced, confirmed by the club. I thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be Heckingbottom, you know, I'm putting the David Brent memes on and stuff. And I saw it come up, Heckingbottom. I thought, oh, yeah, it's Heckingbottom. And about an hour, I just thought it was interim. I just thought it'd be similar with like Carrick at Man United, just interim, give him a few games. If he's good enough, we might do a Solskjaer where, yeah, you've been interim, but we're now going to give you an offer full time. I was shocked about an hour later that they've actually just gone in straight away, giving him a full time contract. Not just a full time contract, a full time contract for 4.5 seasons until 2026. I mean, you know, it sounds quite negative, maybe, like, you know, I want, you know, I really want Heckingbottom to succeed selfishly. Just obviously, I want Sheffield to do well, but he comes across as a really sound guy. I suppose similar to Solskjaer in a way, just a really sound guy that's, you know, you really want to succeed for his own sake as well. But like for 4.5 years, like, don't they realise, they learn their own from the mistakes. Like, we have to pay Wilder off. Obviously, that wasn't planned. We've sacked, obviously, I think we made Slav one of, if not the highest paid manager in the league. I'm not sure how long his contract was, but I doubt it was one season. We've had to
was
pay
it three? Him off. I think it was 3 years.
I wouldn't know, but I doubt it was one season. Like, we've got to pay him off now. No wonder we've got no money left, you know, to like fund transfers or even loans. We're struggling.
Well, you just mentioned that.
Yeah, like now we've got 4.5 years. Can you really see it lasting 4.5 years? You know,
well, the cost of getting rid of Slav is more than the cost of recruiting the players he was likely to have wanted in January. That was what was said in the press conference. So do you expect to see any permanent incomings based on this information this season?
Not permanent, no. I mean, I think even if you look back at previous January transfer windows, like over obviously the Wilder years, we sort of did our permanent signings in the summer. I suppose we did a few, obviously Sander Berger being the most notable of which on the permanent January signings, but it tended to be a few, I don't know, it did seem to be a bit more like loan-based. I was even starting to wonder, obviously before Slav left, whether we were going to have many loan signings in January, let alone permanents. I think now, obviously, even more money has gone under Slav. They were talking I can't remember his name, it was basically saying, obviously, the TV money is drying up. Obviously, we don't get to the Prem. That's starting to dry up now. So I can't see, like, to answer your question, basically, I can't see any permanent signings coming in unless it was for, like, free, such as, like, a Guardiola kind of situation, people such as that. But, no, I can just see it being a few loans. It's just, I think one thing that scares me is the lack of accountability and lack of, you've got the chairman, what's his name, Yusuf, sort of saying, oh, yeah, the prince is no longer the face. I'm the chairman, but you're not going to see from me. And just sort of scurrying off. I don't expect him to be sat on the cop every game, but it just seems like a lack of accountability. These are people that are making key decisions that will dictate the future of this club for the next decade and years to come. And there's sort of like no accountability for them. And they're also, I think, I understand that they didn't specifically say that Heckingbottom won't be judged just on, they won't be based on, won't be judged just on results. I know, you know, that they didn't specifically say that, but I still feel like that's sort of hedging their bets a bit, sort of trying to, remove some of the accountability of like, oh, well, you know, it's not just results-based. Like, even if it's going wrong, I think yesterday might have been a pivotal day, and I'm really worried. And there's many cautionary tales when you look at the likes of Portsmouth, Coventry, Sunderland, you know, other clubs that I know Forest fans earlier on were talking about their one of their ex-owners sort of I think the reaction, what scared me most is the reaction from the wider Championship community of like, not people not just laughing at us, not really laughing at us, just like going, wow, that is shocking. You don't often see many other fans talking about the ongoings of the Sheffield United boardroom, but the fact that the wider Championship community were all sort of aghast themselves yesterday at the things that were being said or even misreported from the press conference was sort of, that's what took me back a bit. And I don't know, I just feel like a lack of accountability and people just sort of making big decisions to, sort of protect their own pockets and then sort of scurrying away into the darkness not to be held to account by fans.
Wow, strong thoughts. That's what I hoped for and what you expect from Travelling Blades. Thank you very much for joining us. Let us know in the comments. Always a pleasure, buddy. What you actually thought of those comments, because, as I say, some strong ones there. And Travelling Blade never lets you down. Do give him a subscribe on YouTube because he's absolutely fantastic value, as is Adrian. Adrian!
Wow, hello, it's me.
It is you.
Yeah.
So what are your initial thoughts when you heard Slavisa Jokanović had left the club like we all did really early on my birthday?
Oh, was it your birthday yesterday? Happy birthday for you. I never look at this notification, sorry. I was gobsmacked. I was actually working really hard up till that point. And then that it was actually the indignity of it all was that it was a West Ham fan who notified me that it had happened via the Microsoft Teams chat. And it said, she just said, Sheffield United manager gone. And my reaction was, where have you heard this? Where you heard that, pal? But she never understood that, being from West Ham. So, I didn't see it coming. It's quite simple. I did not see it coming. Much work done at all yesterday in the end. So I hope my bosses aren't watching this.
They're not.
Because then, of course, I went straight on to the forum, S24SU. And on there was the optimists saying things like, oh, let's get Fark in. Nuno, that was another one. Yeah, like he's going to come. And then there was Warnock. And then every sort of fourth or fifth post, it was just somebody saying, it'll be Hecky. And then there'd be another four names. And then someone would say, no, it'll be Hecky. And actually, you know, I said to my brother yesterday that out of all the possible scenarios, none of which particularly brilliant, but it could actually turn out to be the best, the best option. Not that I was very underwhelmed by everything, but I've been underwhelmed all season. I really have, honestly. And when I start getting underwhelmed, you know that it's pretty serious. When I didn't go to the Reading game on Tuesday, I managed to mess things up a little bit. And I wasn't that bothered, you know? I wasn't that bothered. I went to Blackburn and I thought, why did I bother? Because
it was wet.
I didn't even know it was wet. I was late. I didn't even see how it won. So all I saw was us losing 3-0 in effect and getting wet into the bargain.
Yeah, I missed the first goal as well. Actually, I have to say, Reading, aside from the awful John Fleck incident, which was still is staying with me, the atmosphere was pretty good for Reading away. It was one of the better ones.
That's what I was told, actually. So I did feel afterwards, of course, I would have rather been there, obviously, but the fact that I didn't move heaven and earth to get there was a little bit worrying. And I was just, it was just all feeling so lackluster, wasn't it, really? Last Saturday, for example, again, I had a nightmare because I haven't done any hitchhiking since the last game before COVID, that, you know, the Norwich game. So I've been on the Megabus and various other public transport companies, and the M1 was closed on Saturday between Milton Keynes and Northampton. And so that meant I missed the entire first half of the Coventry game. And again, everybody said didn't miss much when I got there. And the second half, well, it was a bit better, but didn't miss. Well, if I'd missed it all, I wouldn't have missed much.
Well, we're getting a lot of detail here, Adrian, on
on your movements. Yeah. But let's focus slightly on the facts of yesterday. I mean, what did you make of the chairman's comments in the press conference? We're not making this decision based on one match or the last 19 matches. It's driven by a long-term strategic vision for the club. I know you're a man who likes business speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love it. It's my favouritest thing in the world. I'm bamboozled by that, to be honest, because what was going on, I can't remember how many callers back now, but what was going on in that period between Wilder going and this happening yesterday? You know, if it wasn't based on the last 19 games, then what on earth were those 19 games all about? It left me absolutely speechless. Which, again, doesn't happen very much.
Very rare. Very rare.
I am still trying to work out what went on behind the scenes with Jimmy Cyril. So I've still got to sort that in there.
But for the teenagers.
Yeah. You know, come on, kids, with a Z. But I wasn't very comforted by what the chairman said. And what was that about? It doesn't bother me because I'm not from Sheffield. Oh dear, that's not the sort of thing we like to hear, you know? So I was quite dismayed by everything from roundabout when I first heard about it, right the way up to when I got home and started to think it over. And I'm still not undismayed, but I was quite disturbed by what was said by the chairman. Just quite bizarre, really. It's not the sort of thing you expect to hear at any press conference, really.
I watched the whole press conference just before we did this. I think when you actually watch it and when you just read the comments, you get a different interpretation of certainly how things were meant to come across. How shall I put it? Maybe that's the right way. I'm not sure.
Sounded better in my head. And to be honest, I've not managed to do that. I've read little snippets here and there because I've had a quite busy week this week, and I managed to listen to about half of Football Heaven yesterday, so I'm not fully up to date, so really I can only go on the little bit. So maybe I will at some point go through the whole press conference. If I can put myself through watching 90 minutes of what we've been served up this season, I can put myself through this conference, can't I?
Right, I'm going to ask you one final question, Adrian. This is a really mean one and it's very difficult. And I'm also going to throw this out to the comments as well. Who would you like to see as the third coach to support Hecky? We've got McCall, we've got Leicester, and he said there's going to be one more. So give me a name, someone from the Blades past, perhaps.
Someone from the Blades past, perhaps. Oof. I would like to see, I don't know, who's got the badges? Do they have to have the badges these days? Yes. I mean, right, okay. So, I mean, Brian Dean did a stint as a manager, didn't he? It is a tough one, that. Thanks for that. I don't know. A sort of striking coach wouldn't go amiss. Someone to do shooting practice, you know, like Nigel Clough tried to do with that time, with What's-His-Face, who went off and had a tattoo instead. But a shooting practice would not go amiss because there doesn't seem to have been any. You know, when you get there early and you see them shooting in, they see them warming up before the game, and they'd always be doing shooting practice. Well, I've not seen them doing that, and it shows on the pitch when it ends up in the stand when they take a shot. So yeah. Anybody who can shoot in a straight line, and Brian Dean fits that category.
Well, Brian Dean, you mentioned, was a manager. He was a manager of Sarpsborg in Norway. No, it's true. And he did a pretty good job by all accounts. So obviously got his badges. Chris Morgan has been mentioned a few times in the comments. He's now an agent. So I think he's said goodbye to coaching. He's, of course, done it before with the Blades. Some suggestions of Dean Hammond. I think Craig Short is a good shout. Personally, not that anyone ever cares what I think, but Nick Montgomery, I think, would have been a fantastic shout. Someone who I know actually applied for Paul Heckingbottom's job a few moons ago, and who knows, had things been different, he would currently be our manager. It could have happened the same way.
Well, you never know. Bonchi's got a long way ahead of him yet. I could just see him in the top job. Monty, direct.
Monty. Yeah, could happen. Adrian, thank you for joining us and for being patient today.
No, that's all right. No problem. Enjoyed it, as usual. Up the Blades.
Up the Blades, because we don't want to go any further down. Let's welcome Roberts as our final guest, all dressed for the season. Robert, how are you feeling after that news about Slavisa gone, Heckingbottom in? What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, obviously, I like Heckingbottom. I like what he did at the end of last season. I think he's going to be really good for us moving forward. I like a lot of the directionality that the board has communicated from the press conference with regards to Sheffield United and the first team. What I don't necessarily understand is a lot of that third pillar that they mentioned, which is the reliance on United World. And one of the things that I kind of want to put out there for everybody to just kind of simmer on, you know, as we go forward in these next couple weeks, we get into the January transfer window, is what is United World providing Sheffield United? Because I look at a couple examples and I'm not really pleased with this setup. Femi Siriki is my like number one example here. We sent him out on loan this season. He's already back. He played, I think I heard, 6 minutes of game time, one appearance for Beerschot in Belgium. That's a good league, but it's a poor team right now, and they didn't even play a player that we sent to them. How are we supposed to be utilizing these resources then, if like that's one of these three pillars for us as a club? It baffles me there. If Beerschot is not a well-performing team, if Châteauroux in France, if Kerala United in India, like, I don't know what they can provide for us, especially going down the route of there were comments about us being a developing team. We're going to develop players, and we're either going to play those players, we're going to sell them on. You know, that's a decent financial model, but we can't do that and then rely on United World. And if United World isn't going to be reliable for us, then I see a lot of fractures in the different things that the chair the board was saying yesterday from the press conference.
Within the United World group, there are 800 full and part-time football technical employees, was something we heard from that press conference. What did you make of that number, 800?
That's a lot of people. I don't think, like, even on my Facebook friends list, I might have 800 people, but there's no way that you could gather 800 people and be available. That must be including all the players, all the staff, every single person, you know, serving drinks in the cafeteria at the training ground or something like that. That is not 800 scouts scouting around the world. I mean, I play Football Manager. We've talked about this before. You get like 20 scouts plus, like, that. That's about it. I don't see how, like, where this number comes from. I don't know what this number means. And seeing how we've used this so far, we've not brought in any players from a United World club. We've sent two out, technically speaking, when you talk about Siriki and Koulibaly at Beerschot. And it's not really impressed me so far. I like the idea. I love the idea of the setup, the concept of the setup of having clubs to tap into these scouting regions across the world, across Europe. But the implementation within the last year has not impressed me.
I bet you've got affiliated clubs on Football Manager.
Always. You got to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you keep talking about that, Robert, you're not going to become one of those 800 that's employed by United World. Absolutely true. Now, do you expect higher value assets on the playing side, our best players, to still be with United in a year's time?
That's going to be the trickiest part. I think there is going to be an interesting balance. And Heckingbottom said that he is not necessarily the expert when it comes to transfers, when it comes to scouting, that he's going to be relying on Paul Mitchell in the scouting department. But that scouting in my head is always like incoming players. It's never really outgoing. But you can utilize your scouting department to say, hey, how good are our players valued and what is going to be the best value for us as a club when it comes to that player? Are we going to get more value out of using that player to secure a better stable position in our league and you know, a cup competition, or are we going to get a better return of value if we sell that player on? And so I'm curious to see how it goes. I see players like Sander Berge, who have a lot of value, haven't provided a lot of value on the pitch for us, who are players that we could probably turn a profit in January in the summer window. It's the older players that are really concerning, players who have contracts expiring that I would love to see return for sentimental value, for the fact that you want leadership in the room. But if we're relying on youngsters, if we're going to be using youth players in our first team, we don't have that many spaces. We're going to have to get rid of some of these older players, and we're not going to get any value out of them. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, the message is more outs than ins in January at a minimum. So we'll see where the line is drawn, if it's purely by age, if it's purely by how expensive your contract is, or if it actually is going to come down to, you know, who can get the best value on the pitch for us or on the transfer market for someone else.
Well, Robert, thank you for your thoughts. We are going to draw a line now on this as we've hit the hour mark. Fans Forum, thanks to each and every one of you that joined. Thanks to all of you that watched. If you ever want to be on the next one, we always promote it and advertise it on our Twitter account at Chef United Way. You just need to drop us a DM, say you want to be on, and you will be on. Each and every one of you, always welcome. Thank you. I will say goodbye for now, and cheers to Bobby in the background as well for helping out today. Always appreciated.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.